This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Nick Costos, Chris Ranji in for Ken Barkley. Ken celebrating his wedding anniversary tonight with his wife, Heather. Hope they have a great time. Ken will be back on the show tomorrow. Happy to have Chris Ranji filling in for Ken today. Next segment, we're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys, who reported to training camp earlier today. One of their star players, Amari Cooper, opens up on the PUP list. We're going to tell you if you should be concerned about that and how we're looking to bet Dallas and the NFC East this year. Still to come on the show, Adam Burke going to join us, ATS.io, get you set to bet on Major League Baseball tonight. Anthony Amico, NBA draft props with the NBA draft a week from today. That's going to be awesome. And final hour, the Power Hour, all our picks for tonight. No pressure on Chris Ranji, who's a great baseball mind, but Eli and I have like almost like literally not lost this week. So no pressure.
You guys are great. Yeah, maybe you're better than me. It's possible.
Maybe we're very lucky.
Maybe I've been lucky.
Nah, that's true. Okay, so we'll hold the Cowboys conversation for next segment. We'll talk about Amari Cooper on PUP, and we'll break down Dallas's chances for win the NFC East and go over their win total this year. But Chris, Ken and I have been doing all week this week, and a shout out to the great You Betters out there who tweeted us all week at You Better You Bet, leaving comments at youtube.com/Odyssey Sports with their thoughts, with their bets in the NFL futures market. And we've got a bunch still to get to. We've probably do like another like 2 weeks of content on this, and a spoiler alert, there's nothing going on in sports really. So we probably will. So let's do a bunch here, Chris, and let's go to coach of the year right now, which I know is a market very near and dear to Ken Barkley's heart. And this comes courtesy of our friend at John Ornberg on Twitter. And he wants to talk about Bill Belichick, Chris, potentially winning coach of the year at 18-1. So just to give everyone just a refresher on the odds, Brandon Staley is the favorite of the Los Angeles Chargers, the first-year coach of the Chargers. Kevin Stefanski's up there, Kyle Shanahan, Brian Flores, Frank Reich, Sean McVay, and Belichick also in that mix, Chris. So how do you feel about Belichick here potentially winning another coach of the year this season?
I mean, I guess there's a little bit of value here, right? And what would have to happen is the Patriots have to get to probably about 11 wins in order for that to happen, because that's typically been the trend, at least for teams that have coaches that win coach of the year, at least over the last 7-8 years. It's a team that has won 11 games. There was one exception. It was a 9-win team, the Indianapolis Colts, and that was, I think, 2012 when that
Andrew
happened.
Andrew Luck, and Bruce Arians, who was the interim coach filling in for Chuck Pagano, who had leukemia, who had to walk away. I believe Arians won coach of the year that year.
It was Bruce Arians, right? And in order for them to get to that point, a lot of things have to go right. And it's probably figuring out the quarterback situation, number one. If it's going to be Cam, if Mac Jones is going to get all the starts, I guess we don't really know exactly what their intention is. if it is Cam Newton, I can't see this team getting to that point. And although their over-under win total is 9, 9.5, depending on where you look for the season, which to me seems about right. If that's where they end up, I don't think that happens for him. I think there are a lot of other better candidates that you could probably point to. Brandon Staley, as you mentioned, the odds aren't, you know, the best. I mean, it's he is the favorite to win, so you're not going to get a ton of value if you decided to make that call right now. But I still think it's probably going to be somebody like Sean McVay. I think there's a really good chance that happens for him. They're probably going to go back to the playoffs. The Rams are, and we'll see how they rebound from the Cam Akers injury. And if he does that, if Sean McVay does that in Los Angeles, and they end up having a really good offense, which they're going to, I would be surprised if they don't. They got a better quarterback situation now. He might win Coach of the Year just based on that. And then people will say, look, he did this without Cam Akers, even though it's the run game. And it's not, you know, it's not the biggest loss in the world to lose your starting running back. You can still have a run game without that guy. But I do think a lot of people will vote for him based on that.
I have kind of, I guess it's kind of a hot take here as it concerns Bill Belichick this year and Coach of the Year. I literally think like he can't win. Like, I don't think there's any chance he wins. Like, unless they go like 15-2, 16-1, 17-0, and like, newsflash, to use the old Rick Pitino line, like Tom Brady and Randy Moss and Wes Welker and company, they ain't walking through that door this year for the Patriots. Patriots could be good this year. They ain't going 15-2, 16-1, or 17-0. And I think if and when the Patriots are good this year, let's say they get to 11 wins, they go 11-6, Chris, like you mentioned, I think what people are going to say is, well, yeah, they won 11 games this year because they went on that spending spree this offseason to make up for the fact that, you know, Bill couldn't coach up the scrubs they had on the team last year. So I almost think that what they did this offseason, like Belichick, the GM, might actually work against Belichick, the coach, not in terms of wins and losses or against stuff that like actually matters to Bill Belichick when he puts his head on the pillow at night. But I think in the heads of voters, it's going to be like, well, yeah, like, of course he won more games this year. They spent a ton more money than every other team did. They basically bought like an entire new squad here, an entire new skill position core on offense. Of course they're going to be better. So I actually think that if they go 11-6, 12-5, I don't think he can win. I think the only way Belichick wins this award is like 15-2. And I don't see that happening, whether it's Cam Newton, Chris, or Mac Jones.
I think you're onto something there. They have to be dominant. And I mentioned the 11 wins. That's usually reserved for teams that are overcoming some kind of incredible odds or a younger coach. You know, somebody who they didn't really they didn't expect much. And then a winning record happens and people are like, oh, wow, look how we turned this team around. You know, I think it's more along those lines. For Belichick, the ceiling is much higher, or at least the threshold that people expect something from. So if it's not 14, 15 or better in terms of wins, I'm right there with you. I don't think he wins because, you're sort of grading him. People grade him on a curve because he's the best to ever do it. He's the best to ever do it. So like when Mike Trout has those starts to a baseball season where he's only hitting like 290, people are like, oh man, Mike Trout's having a bad start to the year. Well, yeah, it's Mike Trout. You expect 310 and you expect 1,000 OPS every time. And when it doesn't happen, you think he's having a down year. I think you're very much onto something when it comes to Belichick.
You know, we brought up the Patriots undefeated, possibly going undefeated here, which is a little serendipitous because the next question that we had, courtesy of the same guy at John Ornberg, relates to the team that upended Belichick's quest for a perfect season back in 2007. That is my favorite team, Chris. That is the New York Football Giants. Joe Judge, the head coach of the Giants, sitting at 20-1 right now at Bet Rivers to be the coach of the year. Giants go 6-10 last year, if not for the Philadelphia Eagles and the disgrace that they pulled in the final game of the season Sunday night, inserting Nate Sudfeld into the game in place of Jalen Hurts that got Doug Peterson fired on that final game of the regular season. Giants might have gone to the playoffs now. They would have gotten killed by Tampa in the wild card round. Story for another time. But the Giants go 6-10. Probably helps his case this year if they're better this year, if they make the playoffs here. Win total of 7 for the Giants. What about Joe Judge here at 20-1?
I think that's really good. I know that they've taken a lot of heat because of the Daniel Jones pick, but you know, there are times where he looks okay, right? I mean, there are times where he looks like he might at least be competent. And I think he went through a stretch last season where people who doubted that pick thought, okay, well, maybe they were sort of onto something. I don't know if I believe in him all that much, but I think, again, they would have to get to 11 wins. Is that something you think they're going to do? Because I know one of the questions that we were asked, and I don't know if we're going to get to that or not, but the over-under win total of 7 for them, I think that is absolutely doable. I think they can reach that for sure. I'm just not sure if they get to like 12 wins this season. What do you think?
Well, we talk about, you know, grading, you know, Belichick on the curve. I grade the Giants on a curve. It's called the I've been a fan of the team for 30 years curve. So like the curve is not good when I grade the New York Giants. Look, I understand why some people like the Giants this year. I get it. I want to like the Giants this year. They're my favorite team overall in any sport that I root for. The Giants are my favorite. I get why people might like Joe Judge. I thought Judge did a nice job this year, last year. I thought Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator, did a great job. Last year, getting that team to even 6 wins, I thought was a minor miracle. I don't have a lot of faith in the quarterback, so I can't make that bet for that reason with Joe Judge. And I don't even think I would bet over 7 on the Giants this year, which really, really makes me sad. I would like to, but I think the quarterback sucks, man.
Yeah, that's it.
How can you win?
So you're saying don't find your quarterback at the Senior Bowl or whatever it was that they decided. Yeah. Oh man, this guy's great.
It's just like, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, but you can get your running back as a number 2 pick. Well, yeah, okay, here's the thing. All right, I'm sorry. Okay. Listen, I'm a Bears fan, so you know, come on. We may have gotten it right this year, who knows, but I guess we'll find out. Well, that's the thing. Barkley's probably going to have a full healthy season, at least you hope he's going to. I think their secondary's improved a lot with Jackson and Bradbury being there, and that's going to help out the quarterback a lot. Like, I think,
and Xavier McKinney, last year's second round pick, who had the fractured foot, I think he's going to play a big role this year for the Giants in the back ends of that defense.
Yeah, so in one extra game, I mean, again, we have to keep reiterating, to get an extra game this year, I think they can make a 2-game improvement from what they did last season. I don't think that's too far out of the question, really.
I would just ask people this question. You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. The win total 7. And like, sports books know exactly what you just said. I think the quarterback's bad. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that I'm proven incorrect here. I hope that they have a great season. I'm just not super confident in it happening. You better, you bet. BetQL Thursday, Nick Costos and Chris Ranji in for Ken Barkley, going through your tweets this week at You Better, You Bet, talking NFL futures. We've got a pair of picks here for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Got a lot of tweets on this topic this week. I feel like this is what people are most into. And as Ken and I detailed on the show yesterday, it's kind of like an electric race for Offensive Rookie of the Year this year. And I know that sounds like a ridiculous comment, but we got 5 first-round quarterbacks, Kyle Pitts, a number of stud wide receivers, not just in round 1, but wide receivers that the fantasy community really likes in round number 2, a running back the fantasy community likes in the mid-rounds, and Trey Sermon that we talked about yesterday. So we have 2 second-round skill position players that I want to go over today, and I think we'll probably be on the same page with both of these guys. Let's group them together at FThoughts8. Whatever, stupid Twitter handle. But thank you for listening to the show.
Yeah,
we appreciate it. Also, change your Twitter handle. It's terrible. Likes Broncos rookie running back out of North Carolina, Javonte Williams, at 20-1 rookie of the year. And at L. Ron Studdard, I like that one a little bit. Shout out to Scientology there from L. Ron Studdard. Has Cardinal second round wide receiver out of Purdue, Rondale Moore, 66-1. So if the answer is no, I totally get it here. Maybe you don't like these guys. Maybe you like one of them a little bit, Chris. Rondale Moore and Javonte Williams.
All right. Here's my problem with, well, let's start with Moore, first of all. In order for a wide receiver to win this award, he has to be far and away the best receiver on his team. At least if you go back historically and look at the guys who have won over the years, usually it's a guy that is obviously the best receiver. Odell Beckham Jr. was, I think, the last wide receiver. Yeah, he was, back in 2014, the last receiver to win. He was clearly the best receiver on the Giants staff. Well, he's got DeAndre Hopkins on his team. Moore does now. So I think he'll probably lose based on that, even though Hopkins can probably open some things up for him on the other side of the field. I think that's going to happen. But DeAndre Hopkins is still DeAndre Hopkins until he proves otherwise to us. So I don't think that's a very good bet. As far as Williams goes, I know they're calling him special. I feel like that's the team is calling him special. And that's the kind of thing I think you kind of have to say about the guy that you've just drafted. But it'll be a really interesting dynamic to see how many touches he gets compared to what Gordon gets. And maybe Melvin Gordon has a bad year and he starts off bad and he's not going to get those touches anymore. And they probably will go all to Williams. But at this point, I don't know if I like, even though the value is there, if they both end up winning or if one of them ends up winning, I just don't know if I like the direction. I don't know if I like taking either of these two, at least not right now. Honestly, the guy I think is going to win is going to be Kyle Pitts. And there are a couple of different reasons for it. One, a tight end has never won the award. And I think people are dying to vote for a novelty. I think people are dying to vote for something that is unusual. They like to say, we voted in the best tight end ever, the best rookie tight end ever. He's going to be one of the biggest targets on that team for Matt Ryan with the Atlanta Falcons and Julio Jones gone. So, and I know the value isn't really great for Kyle Pitts right now at plus 800. I think that that might be the consensus right now. So if you put the money down now and you've got it, you know, inaccessible for a while, I guess you could go ahead and do that. But I get this feeling that Pitts is going to be a heavy target in Atlanta. And I think people are going to want to vote for him and people are calling him one of the best ever tight end prospects. So I think it's already on the minds of a lot of voters.
I would tell people this, people that are like, and I get it, want to talk about rookie tight ends never really making a huge impact. And historically, that's been the case. We talk about guys that have been selected in the top 10, whether it's Kellen Winslow Jr., or TJ Hockenson was just outside the top 10, Vernon Davis. Like, none of those guys made the impact that some people think Kyle Pitts can make. Here's what I would say to those people, because I love Kyle Pitts also. You need to stop thinking about Kyle Pitts like he's a tight end. Like, Kyle Pitts is a wide receiver in a tight end's body. Julio Jones is in Tennessee. I know people that listen and watch the show regularly already know my thoughts on this, but just to reiterate again, I also love Kyle Pitts. I think he gets 120 targets this year. I think he can catch 100 passes this year in this Falcons offense. That's going to be catered around him and Calvin Ridley. I know Arthur Smith is coming over from Tennessee where the offense was built around Derrick Henry. They don't have Derrick Henry. And Arthur Smith is smart enough to know that Mike Davis isn't going to be Derrick Henry in his offense. They're going to build it around Matt Ryan. So I love me some Kyle Pitts as well. At plus 800. I've got some thoughts that I want to share on both Javonte Williams and Rondale Moore. We'll do that in the next segment here. So my thoughts on Williams and Moore potentially winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. And then we'll talk about Amari Cooper starting the year on PUP and if it should affect you the way that you bet on the Dallas Cowboys coming up this season. You better you bet.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Bring it up, Rick. This is one of our favorite music beds, Chris, that we play on the show every day. We think the guy's saying stovetop when he comes in.
Do we know who it is?
No, but wait for it here. Rick, bring it up. Now he's probably saying go time, but it sounded to us at first like stovetop. So we call it stovetop affectionately.
I mean, maybe he just loves stuffing. Like maybe he just loves really salty stuffing.
You know who doesn't love stuffing? Terrorists.
That's true.
Heathens.
Yeah. Stuffing.
The dregs of society. Of course it's great.
I thought you were going to say like Rick Camp, and that would have been like one of the biggest upsets in history.
Whoa.
Yeah, Rick, pop on here. Rick, you like stuffing, right?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, stuffing's amazing. Right. If I had to choose between stuffing or turkey, I'm taking stuffing.
It's not even close.
I agree with you.
In a landslide, what? Stuffing. Yeah. In a landslide.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, that's Eli, tough. You have, by the way, that's the first time we've heard Eli's voice all week. Eli, great to have you back on the show. Eli, your food Eli, it's been a great week. Eli, your food takes are miserable, man. And we love you, buddy. But like your turkey food takes are not to be trusted.
Okay, my food takes are miserable. Turkey is great. Turkey
case sucks. In point.
Turkey is fantastic.
At what?
Bill says turkey tastes like napkins.
Yeah, turkey's disgusting. And Bill is someone who is on the show said that he uses his fast food bag as a napkin when he's driving home. I trust Bill's opinion more than I trust Eli's 100 times out of 100.
Turkey tastes like napkins.
Gross. You need to like slather it with gravy to make it even like somewhat edible.
All right. Now I don't think it's gross, but here's what I do think. There is a reason that you have turkey for dinner once a year and that's it.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have ham for dinner throughout the year.
I think ham kind of sucks too.
But it's better than turkey.
It is.
Because it's a cousin of bacon. It comes from the same animal and bacon is fantastic. So
yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean ham is way, way better than turkey.
Eli, what's better? Ham or turkey?
I've never eaten ham.
Is that like a religious thing or have you just never had it?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up like in that kind of a household, so I didn't eat it. And then I never really like tried it after. I just don't care to.
So you've never had bacon?
Right. No, I have on the first time I had bacon was by accident and I thought it was disgusting. Oh,
man. Well,
can you go back home? Can you go home again, please?
I'd love to. Can I work from home?
Listen, you booked great guests and you gave us a great rundown today. Your job is done. You can get out of here, buddy.
Sounds good.
Now we need you. We need you for the power hour to give us some winning baseball bets, Eli.
I can't fault you for, you know, for the religious thing. That's one thing. I can understand being like 30 years old and never having had it and then being exposed to it once and like, wow, what is that? I don't know if it's a little too much, maybe. I could see that, I guess. But it's just so awesome. It tastes, it's great. It's legitimately great.
Like a nice crispy piece of bacon. Oh, man.
And there's nothing that smells better cooking than it.
That is accurate. I'm getting pretty hungry right now.
This is a great conversation.
A little stovetop, a little stuffing, a little bacon. We're cooking with gas here on a Thursday here on You Better You Bet. Just as a reminder, next hour here on the show, Adam Burke, ATS.io. Talking Major League Baseball, futures bets for tonight. Love having Adam Burke on the show. The whale capper, Drew Dinsick, NBC Sports Edge, getting us set to bet on the Olympics. Yes, that's right. An Olympic betting guest next hour on the show. And it's a good one. That's our pal, the whale capper. And we start the hour with the rationale of Ranji, because I'm a pro wrestling fan and a showman, and everything on the show has to have a hook or be alliterative. The rationale of Ranji, Chris's Major League Baseball future bets coming up to start next hour. I just want to say something really quick, Chris. If you want to comment on it, you can. If not, we can move on and we can talk about the Offensive Rookie of the Year stuff and get into Amari Cooper and the Dallas Cowboys. The NFL earlier today released a mandate, basically, that says if teams that have unvaccinated players are forced to miss a game and they can't reschedule it, teams will have to forfeit those games. And no one gets paid. So the team that forfeits doesn't get paid. The team that doesn't have to forfeit but was going to play the team, they don't get paid either. And you automatically take an L. People are up in arms. How could you do this? Here's my take. Nothing to do with politics. Nothing to do with personal freedom or personal choice. I'm a one voter, one vote issue, one issue voter. Football. Yes. Whatever needs to happen to give us football. Like, imagine you being out there and having a problem with this if you like football. Whatever needs to happen to give us football, whatever it is what needs to happen. If that means that this NFL mandate is going to get us closer to getting 17 games played for every team, God bless Roger. I would vote Goodell president after what he did last year, playing an entire season in a pandemic. So people want to kill the NFL. What are you kidding? Just like bettors, fantasy players, the best thing that could have happened. So I know that's kind of like a loaded grenade I just tossed out there, but people know that I'm very consistent with that take. Just give us sports. Whatever it takes to play the games, just do it. Just do it, please.
Kostos, you nailed it. And last year, when they were talking about starting the season back up again, or I guess starting the season, it wasn't a backup thing, but when they finally got to that point and we were going to have some football, and even when baseball was about to start up in the summer, my contention was, look, whatever you have to do to make these games happen, if it means teams lose 10 to 15 games in the season because they get COVID and can't play, then that's what happens. It sucks. It's not ideal, but at least it's something. At least it's baseball. At least we're able to continue the season. Same thing for football. I feel the exact same way. It sucks if it happens to you, and sometimes it is not your fault when it happens, but this is the world we're in for the time being. It's even more so now the case. There's an easy way to not have to worry about it so much, and that is to get the vaccine. We have a thing to get us out of it. And so if your team doesn't want to abide by those rules and you end up losing games because of it, okay, we'll move on. There's still going to be a bunch of other games on Sunday.
Oh, I'm not moving on. I'm going to be furious because I want to bet on these games and my fantasy players play on those teams. Listen, okay, I'm selfish about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not about politics or personal choice.
It's just about your own personal gain. Yes.
You know what it's about, Chris?
Yeah.
Me. And you. And you, the person listening, and you, the person watching, because we want to watch, bet on, play fantasy with football, whatever it takes to play the games. Just make it happen, National Football League.
Here's the way I see it. There's going to be a point where we don't have to worry about this anymore, whether it's a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever. We're going to get back to a fully normal at some point. I feel like this is all temporary. So in the meantime, if it just so happens we lose a game or something on the schedule, okay, it sucks, but it's better than the alternative of there being no sports at all.
Yes. You know what's better than the alternative of no sports at all? Anything. Literally any other outcome is better.
We did that
no
last year for several months.
Yes, and I wanted to walk into traffic. The bad news is there were no cars on the road and nothing would have happened. All right, you bet. Kostos, Ranji. Talking National Football League here on the show. Quick takes here for me on Rondale Moore, Javonte Williams, then we'll talk some Cowboys to close up our number one. I agree with what Chris said in Chris's breakdown, which you said, Chris, in the last segment, where you can never bet on Rondale Moore. And I like Rondale Moore. I think he's got a chance to be an electric player. But the last time we saw him at Purdue, he's diminutive, but he's really fast. You know, in this air raid offense, which is kind of like, you know, a Fugazi air raid run by an idiot, Cliff Kingsbury. But anyway, you know, I think he's got a chance
got a great
to be like
living room.
Listen, handsome guy too. Looks like Ryan Gosling, right? But nothing going on upstairs. God bless him though. Millions of dollars, head coaching job for basically nothing. Anyway, the problem, like Chris told you, is DeAndre Hopkins is the alpha there. And the corpse of A.J. Green is there. Christian Kirk is still there for Arizona. So while I like Rondale Moore, and like I think he's someone like for fantasy purposes that could pop, maybe like once we get a month or two into the season here, you can never bet him, not even at 66-1. And Javonte Williams, the reason why I don't like him, now, the Cam Akers injury actually kind of makes things a little interesting here. Because I think it makes sense for the Rams at some point before, but in between now and the start of the season, to add a veteran running back. It's a team with Super Bowl aspirations. They're not rolling in there with like Darrell Henderson and Xavier Jones and Raymond Calais and these guys. And I think Melvin Gordon's a guy that's been floated out there that makes a lot of sense potentially for the Los Angeles Rams. So we'll see what happens with Melvin Gordon. I don't think he's a lock to make the team by any stretch of the imagination. The Broncos, someone that could be moved at some point here. If and when that happens, Javonte becomes more valuable. But given the fact that Melvin Gordon's still there, and can we trust the coaching staff with Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur? I think the answer is no. And plus, Najee Harris is the running back that's far and away most likely to win the award. I would rather play Javonte Williams, though, than like Travis Etienne and Trey Sermon and any of the other running backs that were selected early in the NFL draft. Let's do Cowboys here for a little bit before we move on. Amari Cooper is the Cowboys open up training camp today, along with DeMarcus Lawrence, who had offseason back surgery, Cooper offseason ankle surgery. Both start on the PUP list. Cooper's the one that kind of draws the headlines because of fantasy football. So Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Cowboys, saying about Cooper, quote, "He looks great. I'm not concerned." Okay, what else is Mike McCarthy going to say? Cowboys open up the season, first game of the year against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cooper expected to be out there. Dallas plus 125 to win the NFC East, over under win total 9.5. Chris, your take here quickly on the Dallas Cowboys, and does the Amari Cooper injury give you any pause?
Yeah, I don't know if it does a lot for me in the negative sense. I think once you have the quarterback back, it's going to make all the difference in the world, and we expect Dak to be fully healthy this year, right? So,
looks good walking out today at training camp for sure.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, if that's the guy you get back, I don't think you worry so much about who his receivers are going to be, because good quarterbacks can usually make that receiving game better. Right. I mean, they can make the passing game better on their own. The best quarterbacks in the league are able to do it, unless you just don't think Dak is all that good, unless you think he's been overrated this entire time and he doesn't make that much of a difference. But we saw the difference between him and Andy Dalton last year, and there is a massive difference in quarterback play. So I don't think it moves the needle for me a ton right now, but I do have a little bit more concern about them winning the division because of this news. It just, I don't think it makes all the difference in the world for me.
Yeah, I'm not super high on Dallas this year. I like Washington a little more at the odds to win the division here. I don't like Dallas's defense. I think that's going to be their problem. And look, like, you want Amari Cooper out there. CeeDee Lamb's great. Michael Gallup's great. When you have the three of them out there with Zeke, with Blake Jarwin coming back from injury, now you have the entire offense opened up. So this is something we're going to be monitoring very closely, not just for the regular season, but also for when we bet on preseason football in a couple of weeks. I just want to wrap up one thing because it hit me during the break when I was thinking about it with the Amari Cooper thing with the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys week one at Tampa Bay. It's a season opener. Tampa minus 6.5, total 52.5. If Amari Cooper doesn't play in that game, and I know we are a long ways off, but just to get this thought into people's heads, because I thought about it just now, Tampa's got two outstanding cornerbacks, Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis, and they got some good safeties as well. But let's focus on the cornerback position. It's going to make there are some teams where Dallas is just going to be able to run roughshod on them no matter what, because Dallas has the talent advantage. Tampa's got the corners, two really good ones. If Cooper doesn't play, to match up on CeeDee and match up on Michael Gallup. So I'm just saying, like, the first thought that I had as I continued to think about it during the break, under 52.5. And I know that Cooper's not going to like move the total, like him being out, but I think this is a situation where the on-field handicap is not going to be seen in terms of like numbers or thought of, oh, he's just a wide receiver out, whatever. I actually think that him in that particular game, losing him would be a big deal for Dallas based on their offensive personnel against the personnel on defense that Todd Bowles, the coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, will roll out Thursday night in the season opener. Just want to say that about Amari Cooper, if and when he's not out there for the NFL season opener against Tampa Bay.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.